Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you're eating well, and for the new year and for the holidays. Might I suggest a little Butcher Box? This episode is sponsored by Butcher Box. Delicious, 100% grass-fed and free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, wild-caught seafood delivered right to your door. We use this product. Olga makes the food every night. It's all top shelf, and it's better than it has to be. I will say that. You'll be delighted with the product. So when you become a member, by the way, join the community that cares about animals and livelihoods of farmers and treating our planet with respect. Average cost is just $6 per meal. Box and delivery options to fit your needs. Cancel anytime. No penalty. 5 boxes. They got 4 curated box options and the popular custom box as well. So you get exactly what your family loves at ButcherBox, right, Matt?
For a limited time, new members can get 6 free grass-fed, grass-finished steaks when they go to ButcherBox.com/Adam. That's 2 New York strips and 4 top sirloin steaks added to your first box for free when you go to ButcherBox.com/Adam. Act quickly. This offer is good only through Cyber Monday.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for November 26, 2020. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got some great Thanksgiving clips for you for a special Carolla Classics. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Gobble, gobble, everybody.
Gobble, gobble. Let's get to it. First off, I want to remind everybody, check out Geico.com. Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. Now, Adam has some pretty epic Thanksgiving takes over the years. I mean, I could think of a few of them already. There's been a parking situation. I remember he hates the Thanksgiving jogger. Adam is no stranger to complaining about Thanksgiving. And we got some really great Thanksgiving moments that he's had over the years. So why don't we kick this one off with November 2012, and Adam went to a Thanksgiving party for Natalia at her school and had some parking issues.
Adam Carolla Show 958. It's a live episode from the Brea Improv with Greg Fitzsimmons. And right at the top of the show, Adam talks about taking Natalia to her Thanksgiving party at the school and the various parking issues he ran into. He has some hilarious observations about what it requires to be a good dad, basically being homeless and not having job commitments. Very funny riff that ends with him talking about his long-term time travel goals. Check it out.
I had this great experience today. I had to go to my daughter's Thanksgiving party at her school today at 11:30. When did this begin? Greg, I know you've been suckered into many of these events, but when did this thing start where we go middle of the week, middle of the day, and if the dad's not there, he's a fucking axe murderer? And essentially, you have to be unemployable to be a good dad now because, oh, everything's at noon and everything's on a Tuesday, and where were you? And it's like, I was at fucking work. That's where I'm supposed to be. I'm the dad. I pay for the shoes and the blouses. You toddle off, mom, to the shit that the kid will never remember. That is our deal. It's unspoken. Well, maybe I just spoke
it. It's spoken.
I think it's now spoken. But I was there with the other loser, unemployable dads, and I resent Los Angeles so much because there was no place to park. There was zero parking around my kid's school, except for in the very front of the school, but it's 15-minute parking. So it's that thing where it's like it's forbidden fruit. Like, there it is. It's offered up. There's a space literally right by the flagpole. You can park on the flagpole, but for 15 minutes. And the only thing this city does well is hand out parking tickets. Like, if I had called 911, I'd be like, 15 minutes, don't worry about it. I got at least a day and a half before some guy with pepper spray shows up and wants to know if there's an issue. But the parking is the one thing we do. It's the one thing we're fishing at. It's the one thing we get on. It's the one thing there's no laps in. So I went in to support my daughter for 14 and a half minutes before I then jogged out to my car like a maniac. And I had to go through that thing like 15 minutes. So the asshole with the... By the way, if you have a job that involves chalk on a stick, like if you have an extension for your chalk, if you have a job that just involves chalk, there's a good chance you're a loser. But if there's a 3-foot extender on your chalk... Yeah, it's the exact opposite of the cigarette extender. If you have a long extension on your cigarette, you're doing great. If you have a long extender on your chalk, you're not doing well. I wonder if these guys, like the meter maids, ever square off, like bad blood between a couple of them. On guard! You've offended my honor. And they just go at it with the extended chalk swords.
And then if one goes rogue, they hit him with a broken off chalk extender.
That's right. That's right. All right, sorry. What were we saying there, Rap?
Well, maybe at the end they forgive each other and they just erase, erase all the scars and the wounds from the battle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot like that express line in the supermarket, right? You see it, and you're not really supposed to be in it, but it's fucking nobody there.
Right.
And
right.
as soon as you show up, some asshole jumps behind you. He's got a carrot.
Right. Just one carrot. Baby carrot to make it worse.
Yeah. One.
By the way, do we need baby carrots? Has anyone got a regular side carrot? This is way too cumbersome for me. Like, I can't handle this. How am I supposed to transport this into my kitchen? I don't know what to do. I need a pallet jack to get this carrot from the car into the kitchen. I don't feel like we need the baby carrot. I know you're
single.
Only person.
I'm never going to eat this whole carrot.
Yes. Yeah, so what am I supposed to do? I'll eat half of it, and then I'll bring the rest down to the mission. That's what I'll do. Do you ever see the tire that has 146 chalk marks on it? And I want to say to the fucking brain dead person, look, this guy got their car stolen or they died 6 years ago. Stop fucking marking it. And by the way, once you get to four, the fifth has to be the cross mark, right? Let's do the five thing. Come on, get fucking handy, Zorro, with a chalk stick. We're now looking at a picture of the woman hanging out with the chalk stick. By the way, speaking of miniature vegetables, I want you to know we have the only human being in North America who enjoys miniature corn. This is the one. This is the reason why it's sprinkled all over your Chinese food.
I'm trying single-handedly keep the baby corn business, tiny corn in business.
Does anyone like tiny corn here?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, now hold on a second.
You're all going to need to shut up!
Tell me the rules and the etiquette involving miniature corn. Do you eat the cob, or do you eat it like miniature corn? Like you're a giant. Like you're a giant who's been dropped in Iowa. And you have to eat, or do you just shove the whole the cob in your mouth, and then what? And do they have miniature corn cob pipes? That's an interesting. I bet you'd love that business.
That would be so cute.
You like miniature? Everybody orders Chinese food. That shit just goes to the side, right? All right. I was saying the other day when we ordered Chinese food, and here's how you know you had a shitty childhood. I was in my corn mode there, but shitty childhood. Remember the fortune cookie was the most exciting fucking thing that happened to you ever that week? Like, we got fortune cookies. My fucking kids, if I was like, there's a stale little shitty shell of a cookie with a piece of fucking unsterile paper in it that says something that means nothing, they would just go, old man, I'm going to shoot this up your ass with a fucking... air cannon. Get this shit out of my face and take your baby corn with you.
It's just a waste of my time.
Yes. 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 I'm going to play some Angry Birds. You can fuck around with your shitty stale cookie with the message in it.
But as shitty as they are, yes. I think a power move is walking away without reading the message.
Because
I still want to know what it says. Maybe it knows something.
I like when the people get really scientific about it, where they go, no, that's my cookie. No, I know. I got the ones that said, I should get pink eye. But that was for you. Because they handed out the... You went the wrong direction when they handed out the cookies. I'm the one who should prosper and live long.
And really, the Chinese are not the go-to people when you really want the real information on shit.
Right.
Maybe in high school when you're cheating on the geometry exam.
Right.
But I'm not looking inside
fortune
of stale...
geometry exam answers.
That's
that
what we
I
need.
Would go for.
Send
right.
out for Chinese food during midterms.
Right. And then there's the...
C.
Then there's the... flat cookie that where they can only commit to half the almond.
Yeah.
Like a full almond, too much almond for those round eyes. They wouldn't know what to do with it. They couldn't handle a full almond. No, no. Start them off with half an almond. See how they respond. If they don't hurt themselves with it, we'll give them a full almond at some point. I don't need your fucking burnt offering of an almond, your sliver of almond. You've insulted me with that almond sliver that's on the cookie that no one knows the name of. I don't know. What is that?
It's
the
an almond cookie? Yeah.
Hardly. What else has half of something that is called that in the name? Come on, Asians. Give me a fucking full almond. How pissed are the Blue Diamond people here? They want you to eat a can a week and you guys are handing this stuff out a half almond at a time?
And when do you eat the Chinese dessert? Because the food never really ends. The fucking carton is just a bottomless bucket of tiny corn and
right.
meat. And
right.
you just keep eating it all night because you keep getting hungry. There's no, hey, time to wrap it up and have dessert.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that the almond cookie is really, it's. I think the greatest purpose it could serve is for those who enjoy shooting skeet. Because that's really what it is. It's a Chinese clay pigeon. I'm sorry, people. I know that's controversial, but that's it. All right. Shall we take some questions from the audience? I think Brian has some, and some people had questions out there.
Do we have the mic?
Yeah, we do.
First one's from Christine Fischetti. Fischetti, Italian name. And
Christine, you out there?
There she is, over here.
There's two of you. All right. Christine, what's going on?
So, time travel to any place in time, where would you go and why? And what happened to Mr. Burcham?
Oh, okay. Two things. First off, because my wife listens to the podcast, I would travel home to be with my family.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
Or ancient Rome to buttfuck as many underage kids as I could. I got a lot of range when it comes to time traveling. You know what I mean?
That's wasting my time?
Plus, I would treat, if I ever traveled back in time, I would treat that, whatever civilization I landed in, like folks treat the bathroom at the airport of the city they're not in. It'd be, fuck this place. I'd be pissing out in the street. I'd be taking my gum wrappers and just flicking it. I wouldn't recycle anything. Even if they know what it was, I'd be the world's worst time traveling tourist. I'd offend the king and everybody else.
The ultimate ugly American before Americans even existed.
Yeah, I'd always bring like a Bic lighter and a Game Boy so I could take over in a pinch. You know what I mean? I feel like that you're just a Bic and a Game Boy away from really taking over wherever you know, depending on how far back you go, What happened to Mr. Burcham? Burcham was a animatic or whatever they call it on Fox. At Fox, they do pilots, but they do like 10-minute pilots that are animated that only cost like $500,000, which sounds like a lot of money to be throwing away to normal working folks like us. But to them, it's better than $2.5 million for a shitty knockoff of Cougar Town, which they do over at NBC or wherever it is. So we made a we could probably watch it. I don't know if that's physically possible, but it's 9 minutes long. And the thing is they give it to you and they give you a disc with a number on it. And they give you that number on every disc. You've got these things, right? Because the deal is
the screeners?
Yeah, the screeners, because then they'll know it's you if you go out and bootleg these things or whatever. But I just put it up on YouTube, and I was like, fuck it. if it's not, you know, it's no Bob's Burgers, because, I mean, you're never going to... You're never going to do better than Bob's Burgers, but I busted my ass on this thing, and fuck it. If you want to go to YouTube and watch it, you should watch it. I think it's about 9 minutes long. You want to watch what an unairable pilot on Fox looks like? Because I don't believe anyone, I've never seen anyone else's animatic, or it's actually called a color. At a certain point, they draw it in, and
Negro,
then they color it in.
Negro.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say it, but...
I mean, politically correct.
And you know what's weird? It has to go to Korea to be colored in. And it's like, oh, I get it, cheap labor. And they go, no, that's where all the computers are. It's not even done anymore by cheap labor, which sort of made me sad.
It's done by expensive computers?
Yes, I wanted to see just one cell with the tear of an 11-year-old on it, you know? Just one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot. Just one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's no Alan Gregory, but it will have to do. Yeah.
That was funny as shit.
Well, it is the greatest compliment you can have as a creator or comedian or whatever is when people are confused. Like, there's a compliment where people go, hey, that was really funny, or it was really good, or that was fine. That's not really a compliment. They kind of have to say that. But the best compliment you can have in life is, what the fuck? I watch that fucking Fox channel. There's nothing funny on there. What the fuck? Why can't they put your fucking show on?
I got angry halfway
And then
through.
They ask me, what's up?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I punched out the head of program. What the fuck do you think my answer is? I have no idea what the fuck is up.
Yeah.
I do remember a couple of great conversations. One is at the end when I pull out the payday candy bar, I get the note from the executives. We don't know what a payday is, so can we just have a handful of nuts come out of the thing? And I'm like, you don't know what a payday candy bar. First off, how fucking old are you? You've never heard of a payday candy bar. And then I have this super condescending conversation I've had with a million executives, which is, okay, you have to do this thing where if it was your wife, you'd go, are you fucking high? What's wrong with you? Did you suffer head trauma? You don't know what a fucking payday is? Instead, you go, I understand a lot of people may be confused about that as well. Here's what I feel would resolve it. Payday on the wrapper has a picture of a candy bar that's covered in peanuts. So even if there's no such thing as a payday, I've invented a payday candy bar for this sitcom, and thus they will see a picture of a candy bar covered with peanuts, and it will solve these problems. And then you walk out and go, that fucking person's retarded. But I've had pitches with executives where I've talked to them about Gallagher, the comedian, and they've told me that no one knows who that is.
Mm.
The highest grossing comedian of the 80s, and have not heard of by comedy executives. So that was probably about 700 grand. And you each, whatever you paid for admission tonight, it was worth it because you just watched a thing that cost $700,000 that will never see daylight ever again. Thank you. And people do this thing where it's like, aren't you worried about pissing off Fox? Well, first off, clearly they're not huge fans of Adam Carolla. Number one. Number two, I built a pirate ship, baby. So fuck Fox. Thank you. Next question, and I hope it segues into a very long animated thing that I did. Well, let me tell you about my friends over at Crossrope. I use this. As you know, I was a boxer, and I do a lot of skipping rope. Well, you can see it in my movie, The Hammer. So I love the workout. You can take it anyway. Anywhere, I should say. I take it anyway. Crossrope combines intense cardio of the jump and the rope and resistance training for a full body workout in just 30 minutes. And again, people are going to put some weight on around the holidays. It's time to break a sweat. It's easy to follow. They have an app that's super easy to follow. Low impact, interchangeable steel rope design, and it builds your coordination. You know, don't just throw the weights around. Pick up the strength with the rope and pick up the rhythm with the rope and finish 2020 strong with Crossrope. Right, Matt?
Get $50 off the Get Fit Bundle starting now through December 10th at crossrope.com/Adam. They even offer a 60-day risk-free money-back guarantee. That's crossrope.com/ADAM.
And that was Adam and Fitzdog live from Brea back in 2012, along with Allison and Brian on stage. And I'm a little worried about Adam finding a time travel machine now.
I think part of it was just kidding. But I love Adam's riffing about the holidays and just the ways he can complain about what's supposed to be happy times. And also, you know, as Adam being a listener to this show as well, in addition to all the rest of the audience, it's funny to think of, like, oh, does he remember going to that school dance and going to the parking thing? Or does this, like, jog his memory? And it's funny for all of us listeners to be reminded of these moments. But Adam as well, we're reminding you, Ace Man.
All right, we're going to stick around in 2012 with this next clip. Adam has more thoughts on Thanksgiving.
This one is after the holiday. Adam Carolla Show 964, Greg Gutfeld, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. No Greg in this clip, just the opening with Adam's Thanksgiving 2012 rant. Adam's mom arrived a little early. Adam Carolla, this is your life. Check it out.
Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla. You're looking awfully hairy.
Thank you. Good day, Bald Brian. Putting something up my ass. What were we doing again? Yeah, I decided to grow my beard out for the first time in 20 years, 25 years.
Scruffy Corolla.
Scruffy Corolla. Why not? Give it a shot. Listen, it worked for Galifianakis.
Yes.
I'm next.
You going to pull on 80 pounds, too?
Hold on. I just saw Mike Lynch. Completely nullified Galifianakis' success with his beard. Shit. Yeah, what do I do? Oh, Dawson.
Two out of three.
Oh, no. No, Matt. Don't give me a Bic. Quick. Boil some water. All right. I had a lovely Thanksgiving, although I had the thing we always discuss, much to complain about, because it's been a whole, like, 3 days since I've really complained to you people.
It's been longer than that.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like a lifetime. It's been 5-6 days. And I – well, what happened – my house, 25 people coming over to my house.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, there's a thing. It's sort of my theory. I'm going to tell my son, never buy a pickup truck and always complain about your back. Because guys with the strong backs who own the pickup trucks have to help people move every weekend.
And that's wasting my time.
When you live in the big house, your house becomes the de facto Christmas, Thanksgiving, wake. God willing, whatever event goes on, it's at your house because everyone else's house has one bedroom and one bathroom and half a lawn. So everything's at my house. And no one in my family has anything going on. Like, my mom lives 2.5 miles from my house, but she will give herself 45 minutes to drive over on Thanksgiving with zero traffic surface streets. You know what I mean? Like, she'll be like, well, we're supposed to be there at 4:30. We should probably, it's 3:30 now. We should probably start loading up and then show up. As I always say, the rudest thing you can do is show up to someone's house a half hour before the party starts, because especially if you're us, there's 25 people. Lynette's not exactly Betty Crocker. She's busting her ass.
She didn't stay up all night.
She does a fantastic meal, but as per usual, she's chasing it. She's behind. The potatoes are boiling. They're not mashed up with the butter in them.
She needs
yet.
To save her timeouts.
Yes.
For after the 2-minute warning.
Right.
I got and football in the brain.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. She's Lane Kiffin over there.
And a tumor?
And anyway.
I don't know which is worse right now.
So she's like chasing it a little bit and no one's dressed. And I just got done skipping my rope. I'm like covered with sweat and the party is starting at 4:00 and the fucking doorbell rings at 3:30. And here's our first batch of solid half hour, half hour before. And it's this thing too that people do where they go like, the person you know goes, yeah, I was coming from Valencia, so I didn't want to. So you left 3 days early? Like, first off, do the math. Secondly, that's the perfect excuse to be late. Also, has there ever been a situation where I said Thanksgiving starts at my house at 4 o'clock and it'll go on till, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock at night, whatever. But things begin at 4. Now, the meal doesn't get served at 4. It's just people start filing in at 4. Has there ever been a situation where you come in at like 4:09 and I'm standing by the door and I'm pissed?
Yeah, because they can't seat you till your whole party's there.
Yeah, what the fuck is this about? Well, we hit a little trap and I just backhand my mom and she keeps her head that way. Okay, bitch. It's 4:10 now. Yeah, I was worried sick. All right, Lynette's over there fucking wringing her hands. We called 911 5 times. Molly's out of her brain. The kids, I'm lying to them. I'm lying to them. I'm telling them you went to a farm somewhere with turkeys and stuffing coming down like waterfalls. Don't ever, ever. Or would you just show up at 4:15 and I wouldn't fucking notice because I'd be lighting a candle or pouring someone a drink out in the patio?
4 o'clock means feel free to show up at 4 or a little later.
Yes. We had 11 people. 11.
11 over the age of 65.
No, all ages. All ages and no ethnicities. All ages there. 11. Of course, I had to run upstairs and start count. I had to fucking start writing down like I was literally tallying people. I had 11 people there long before 4 o'clock. Long before. But the total was 11 before the clock chimed 4. The digital clock that doesn't chime chimed.
Yeah, the grandfather watch.
4. Right. So 11 people had fucking walked through that front door before 4. Lynette had to get dressed. I mean, she's, you know, in her sweatpants and t-shirt. She's cooking all day. I had to get dressed. And I was just like, fuck it. Like, here's my whole thing. I'm not fucking coming downstairs. Like, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to be on. It's 4 o'clock mode. Oh, look at the clock. It's 3:40. I have plenty of time to take a shower, get my shit together and head downstairs. Meanwhile, I know there's 10 people standing in my kitchen trying to figure out how to work a cork opener and trying to get into whatever they're getting into. And my other thing is like, fuck them. I'm not going down there. I'm coming down at fucking 4, and then I'm going to have a little bit of a puss on. It drives me fucking nuts. It happens every fucking year. I don't know what it is. It's the most inconvenient, disrespectful thing you can do. Everyone thinks it's some kind of virtue. Yes, it's a virtue when it comes, you know, look, if you're an airplane pilot or you work for the Greyhound company, yes, it's a virtue to be early. Again, if you want to meet me to see a movie and the movie starts at 2 and I tell you I'll meet you in front of the box office at 10 to 2, feel free to camp out the night before. None of my GD business. Doesn't affect me. I will be showing up at 10 to 2. Same goes for lunch, dinner, and breakfast if you'd like to meet me at the diner. But when you come to my fucking house, don't show up a fucking half hour. What do you think's going to happen? You're going to show up a half hour before we're trying to accommodate 25 people at our house.
Yeah, hello?
And the fucking doorbell's going to ring, and I'm just going to put down my sports page and go, what? Who is? And I'm going to be dressed in a smoking jacket. Lynette's going to have a gown on. And everyone's,
that's how it would be in Downton Abbey.
Every fucking candle will be lit, and every wine, every chilled wine will be sitting
decanted
in a bucket of ice and decanted. And be, what is it? Is it 4 already? Who's it? Oh. No, we're going to be frantically. It's this thing. It starts at 8 in the morning and it builds to about 4 in the afternoon. It starts at somewhere at noon. There's a debate. I got to go to Trader Joe's. We need simple syrup and we're out of, you know, cinnamon. And it's like, I don't know. I think we could make it without it. I don't know. Well, ooh, then there's that weird thing where you start farming it out. Tell Suzanne to pick it up on the way. She's coming from her sister's house. She's not coming. You know, there's always those fucking wrinkles.
There's no 7-Elevens on the way from her sister's house?
You tell her to get 2 sacks of ice. No, she's not coming. She's coming after dinner. We need those for the. There's that sort of, you know, where you mule it out to people. But it builds, and then you get to that point where someone's making a run, and then everything's a little behind, and you're mashing the thing, and you're boiling the stuff, and it's a big fucking clusterfuck, and somewhere that half hour before the actual, you know, 4 o'clock, the call time, that's the craziest.
Mm-hmm. That's the most clusterfucky of them all.
And it's the worst part because it's now the last thing you do is get dressed. And now you essentially have to get dressed with 11, essentially a football team inside your house. You have to get out of the shower, into the shower, whatever you're going to do, go fish stuff out, deal with them. They're always like, oh, don't bother, don't mind. Every fucking time.
And then a second later, hey, where's the...
Yeah, right. So it fucking drives me nuts. I know you guys hate it too, but what can they fucking do about it? And what is the expectation when you show up at someone's house a half hour before the call time? What do you think we're going to be doing? How do you think we're going to be dressed? You think the meal's going to be completely laid out? What is it?
I had almost the exact same scenario on Thanksgiving this year because we hosted our first Thanksgiving. Christie's grandfather showed up 20 to 30 minutes ahead of time, like before the scheduled call time. And my question to you is going to be, at what point do you strategically start telling people different times? You're like, I know Grandpa such and such is always
right.
early, but then it was the same thing. It was Christy was in her sweats. She was still – I was setting up the bar, and I think unfortunately rubbing off on me because it was like, oh, would you get Grandpa a drink and his girlfriend? You're like,
no, listen,
I'm setting up the bar. This is uncomfortable for everyone, and they can sit and relax for 20 minutes while I finish.
They do it in show business all the time. Everyone – they tell everybody who's showing up to pick up a BET award starts at 9 a.m. Sunday. That's when we start filming.
Is that true?
That's what they do.
The year before.
Yeah. Now, it goes on at 8:30 in the evening. But I'm saying that the word goes out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's the rapper time. You have to do it. With some people, and then with other people, you have to go two different ways. Like with my high school friends, you have to shave an hour off of everything to get them there. Mm-hmm. And then with the old folk, you have to add an hour push them back.
When I do like poker nights with my buddies, I tell them like I want to get going around 8 o'clock. I tell them like 7:15 because they'll roll in about 7:45.
Right.
I will say though, when you're the friend that people give the fake time to because you run late and then you find out, hurts a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing though that was happening to me all weekend because we had house guests rolling in and out, and it kept happening that someone would show up as I was in the shower or getting out of the shower. Now, my boyfriend, it was his guest usually, but it would be like, you know, his brother who I'm meeting for the first time. And so I figured, well, I have no choice but to, you know, continue styling. Mm-hmm. I'm not a monster.
Sure.
But I felt very – well, I wondered, am I committing some huge faux pas because they're out there and it's, you know, going to be half an hour or let's be realistic, an hour until I go out there and meet them. I don't know. And Daniel would say, no, it's fine. And I believe it is fine. But somewhere inside I was wondering, or am I committing some huge etiquette mistake?
My whole feeling is once you show up early, or even if it's not early, but this is just me. I want the person to stay in the bathroom as long as humanly possible. But
that's what I figure. Just put this awkward meeting off a little bit.
Yeah, but also, once you show up a fucking half hour early, it's on you. But it's weird because I knew it was coming. Lynette knew it was coming. And we're both fucking fuming when everyone started showing up. Not again, I'll give you
were
8 minutes.
Were they apologetic even?
No, they never are. It's virtuous to show up. Yeah. It's early.
And it really is. Adam said that it was the exact quote you said. Oh, we were coming, in this case, Banning, but Valencia. You're coming out of town. Oh, we're coming from what is 80 minutes away, but they left 2 hours for it, basically. Oh, we came from Banning.
First off, this whole thing where you've lived in this neck of the woods for 70 years and you've driven the highways and byways, and I'm still going to figure out what a byway is. I know what a highway is, but I'm going
to
figure out what a
byway
is.
It's a highway that goes both ways.
Ooh, Chuck's a little cock, eats a little pussy. The highways and the byways, yeah. The cleanup is sponsored by Elton John on that byway. Point is, you know what the fucking roads hold. You know there's no traffic on Thanksgiving, and it's
short. It's your 82nd Thanksgiving.
I know, and it's the greatest excuse ever for being late if you do want to be late. But just give yourself a fucking hour and then show up 20 minutes late, and it's fine. And again, it's unspoken, but Thanksgiving means rolling at 4, we eat at 5:30 or 6. That's what it means. All right. Anyway, a lot of people tweeting me about the Thanksgiving jogger. Those guys pissed me off. Yes.
Footnote to your last point, to wrap it up. If you want to be the MVP guest of Thanksgiving or parties wherever you're attending, make that call on your way. Say, hey, I'm on my way. What can I grab for you? Because invariably you need ice.
Oh, that
or,
is nice.
Yeah. Oh, be that guy.
That's MVP. Yeah. My mom made an MVP phone call. She called one to make sure she had parking up front.
Right. Most vulnerable
in front
player.
Of the house.
My parents called me from the driveway because they couldn't find parking. I don't believe they checked any other streets, though.
I was able to.
Rich man, poor man.
I was
saving
able,
parking spots.
I was able to save $1,000 with my buddy Ray. I told him we're doing Ace on the house. I said, My mom does not say good. She says okay. Like if you ask her how she's doing, she says okay. She never says good. She has three modes. My mom has three modes. She has a cold, just getting over a cold, or feels something coming on. Those are the three reasons why she's not going to help you move. Those are the only three settings she has. Mm-hmm. It's A, B, or C.
Well, then she's a 79-year-old woman.
Oh, yeah. But no, she's been that way her entire life. So I told Ray, give her a call. And I'll tell you what. And I always tell, like I yell at Gary out there and I yell at everybody, you don't have to know anything. You just have to know people. And once you know people, you know everything. And I said, Ray, I'll tell you what. Even though you never talked to her on the phone, and Ray's no stranger, but he's not a family member, I said, I'll give you $1,000. If you call her up on the phone right now, ask her how she's doing, and she says, good, I'll give you $1,000. That seems like a risk for most people because she doesn't talk to Ray. So she might just throw out a cursory, yeah, good, because he's not talking to me. Because if it was me, maybe she'd tell me about what her problems are, what's mm-hmm. going on medically or anything like that. But Ray's Ray.
Yeah. Presumably she'd just make small talk. Unless Ray thought about the fact that why would you be making this wager if you were doubtful?
Well,
for Ray, it's low risk, high reward. He's not betting $1,000.
Yeah, all he's got to do is talk to my mom. Yeah, right. And I said, I'll give you $1,000 if she says good. All you have to do, imagine that. All you have to do is call somebody and go, how you doing? And they go, good, how you doing? And you've just won $1,000. No, not so good was the answer. I just laughed. Now, I was going to say put my wallet away, but I never took it out. Mm-hmm. Unnecessary.
Do you want to play the clip? Because we got a chance to hear it before, and it's even more spectacular than not so good.
Well, all right.
Or like not good. It's like, it's elaborate.
Yes. You know, I feel bad because then somehow she's going to get, just going to get back to her or something. And then she's going to think I was doing it to make it like a joke on the radio, podcast. Well, I wasn't totally intended on doing it. It's very depressing. The point is that I also had a Gelson's pie bought. I bought a Gelson's pie. I did not want to experiment with the pumpkin pie. And I'll tell you this. My sister did a decent job on the pies. Still had that one little thing that has a little burnt side on it. You know, that all the homemade pies always inevitably have, like that one part of the crust.
Yeah.
It's a little one. And they're always a half a shade too
dark.
Too light.
You got to service your oven in that case.
Well, not my oven.
No,
but
the one whose oven does that.
I'll get right on that. The point is this. I then went for my pie, which I'd been hiding.
Where?
In the pantry. And I thought, well, how's this going to work? Am I going to keep going to the pantry sneaking around with my pie? I should slid it under my bed upstairs, you know? And then I went, no, I'll just slide it out amongst the pies. Yeah. No one's going to go, hey, where'd this rogue pie come from? Who's responsible for this? My pie devoured. We were left with a pie and a half. And basically, all of it was the homemade pumpkin pie. Once again, proving my point that people like store-bought and store-made and pie-made pumpkin pie.
They've improved upon homemade.
They really have. You just it is one of these things. It's right up there with garage doors. Here's what I mean. I'm a carpenter. I'm a damn fine carpenter. But if I need a garage door, like if I had an apartment building and I had one of those, you know, electric garage doors, I'd get on the phone and call a garage door company. I don't do it myself. That's not, I'll fuck it up. Or even if I don't fuck it up, I'll never do as good a job as the guys who do nothing but garage doors. Yeah. That's all they do. I wouldn't let those assholes build me any kitchen cabinetry, and I wouldn't let them do any rough framing. But garage doors, let them do it. That's all they do.
People who only do garage doors when they're talking to someone, they just picture the person's mouth as a garage door. Their eyelids as garage doors. Like,
they
that's
hear the noise.
25-10 garage doors.
I think when they're taking a shit, they hear the ass spread. And they hear the garage door opening.
But is there – see, this has me wondering. Is there anything that's better homemade?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think – see, it's weird because for me, I'm the guy who says do not get the can opener out for the cranberry sauce. Make that homemade. But when it comes to the pies, like I said, apple pan, banana cream, or Marie Callender's banana cream, or pumpkin, or whatever, you're not going to do any better. You can't do any better. The whole pastry pie thing, here's the one time I will look the other way. if you're married to somebody and somebody's like a pastry chef, like somebody does this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Carollas are not these people.
Christy made a homemade pecan pie with the chocolate layer underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn delightful. However, we also got the Trader Joe's pumpkin pie because it's like there's people who want the traditional, and it
right.
was they were both snapped up.
Well, not only did we enjoy the we had some brisket and we had some turkey and we had all the traditional stuff, which was fucking awesome. Also, of course, enjoyed the mangria. Not my family per se, but the rest of the guests got sloshy drunk on mangria. And
what are you talking about?
Now, oh boy, starting to get it from the kids with the mangria. Dad, do you need the mangria? You know, once they find you're like this weird Achilles heel, it's also funny. I don't know why it's funny. Like, it's funny for kids to be like, daddy's drunk. Or daddy, blah, blah, blah. Drunk, drunk, drunk. Talk, talk, talk. It's like real funny. Funny stuff.
Funny and what they'll be saying in therapy one day.
Funny stuff. Yeah. Maybe I should just zip it for a year or two, see how your kids do. All right. So speaking of mangria, I sent a bottle out to, all the folks I'm aware of in the business, because it's fun. Like me, I brought a bottle when I did Nick and Artie's show, and we sat there. Felt bad for Artie, but me and Nick got drunk, and we're laughing it up. And the next night or two nights later, they're like serving it up to their guests and stuff like that. So anyway, sent a bottle to Trump. Says, dear Adam, thank you for sending me a bottle of your new signature beverage, mangria. I wish you great success on your new venture. It's delicious. With best wishes, Donald J. Trump, and then a big marker thing that says, you are doing great.
Yeah.
And
great is underlined, as is it's delicious.
Now, this stuff seems corny, but coming from my family of the, what do you want to do? I love the guys who go, you're doing great. Go out there. Like, get it on. Just fucking make it happen. Like, I love that guy. And people go, you know, this is bullshit, right? I go, yeah, I know it's bullshit. Even better. I like it even better. You know,
yeah, I like the gesture.
His secretary wrote that. Yeah, all these guys, and I sent out 100 bottles. They all have secretaries. I haven't gotten anything back.
Are you sure his secretary wrote that, though? Because
no,
I have this vague memory from paper letters that when the secretary writes something, they put, does anyone know what I'm talking about? They put initials at the bottom, like a CC kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
no,
it doesn't
this
have that
is,
code.
This is, by the way, this is a very not much to it. I mean, it take as much time to tell your secretary to write this as it would to write it yourself. And yeah, he probably did write it. And he is one of those guys. But it's like I say all the time, you know, love him or hate him, this is why he's successful. He does not, there's nothing that gets through his HEPA filter. There's not, I mean, we all are
you're
guilty.
You're saying he's full-time Donald Trump. And
fucking
I was thinking,
full-time.
I'm part-time Alison Rosen.
He's full-time Trump. And not only that, he never stops. Like, I don't think he has a, like, you and I have a meter of, I need to reply to this guy's email. I don't need to reply to that guy's email. I need to return this guy's call.
Yeah.
I don't need to return this guy's call.
Yeah.
I wish this guy would return my call. Like, there's some sort of like some sort of pecking order in the universe where you're at. It's like, I don't need to do, you know, somebody, it's like, you're on both sides of it. Somebody gives me their DVD and goes, me and my friends made a documentary about potato bugs. I know you're interested in potato bugs. Could you check it out and get back to me? Like, I'm on the road in Houston and the guy
hands me. Not only won't I, but I'm irritated by it.
A disc, right. So I'm on the, but then I give my movie to Judd Apatow and I'm like, oh, God, I hope he watches it. So it's like, I realize what it's like to be on the, I hope this guy watches my thing and the, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to watch this guy's thing or why should I watch it. I experience both sides of that. I think Trump just has the, like I always said about Leno, like you write a book, he reads it, you make a movie, he watches it. And then he talks. I think Trump just has that one mode. And I think, like I said, whether you love the guy or hate the guy, that's why he is who he is. He just has that mode.
I know of people, effective, successful people who will sit down and return calls. Like that's an activity that they do, returning calls.
Right.
Do you ever feel like if you were to return every call you received, though, it would take forever?
Yes, yes, and I'm bad at it, and every single one of my emails starts with "Sorry for getting back to you so late." All right, what do we got here? Is Gutfeld there? Yeah, I'm able to.
Oh, that's you returning emails.
Yeah, we sped it up a little because the show's only 90 minutes.
It's like initial kickoff returns highlights in the NFL. Like, they speed them up.
When he takes it to the house, so they speed it up.
Because a five-second clip of a kickoff return is interminable at 3 seconds? Just right.
It's so weird. It's like, first off, how many fucking kickoff returns and or punt returns are taken to the house each year? Number one. Number two, evidently, I enjoy watching football highlights, or I'd not be perched in front of my TV set watching your show that shows football highlights. It's not like, when are we going to get to the viola? I like watching black guys carry the rock. That's why I'm here. So,
and things that happen less than once a game. That's a semi-rare occurrence. I mean, it's not like lightning striking, but less than one kickoff return a game for a touchdown.
And the guy who set the state record in the 100-meter hurdles or the 110 hurdles and still stands today in his high school. How long is it possibly going to take for him to carry that fucking football 300 feet? How Again. Bored? You think I'm going to go out and go, I'm going to make a sandwich. Yeah, this is interminable.
This 5 second clip is, I'm dying watching this.
I like watching a guy take it to the house. I'm with you. Like, you don't need to fucking speed it up. And when it's a fat,
that's the best. The lineman?
When it's a fat lineman and picks up the ball, it's even funnier to watch that guy rumble for 60 yards.
Agreed.
How fucking out of time are we that we have to speed up running? World-class sprinters need to be sped up running.
That's right.
Very sad.
It's a good problem to have. Yeah, America.
Hey, Geico man, do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you got to do one or the other, right? And now... good news. Geico's making it easy to bundle. So you can bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy and get it all under one roof and save money. So let's go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you bundle with Geico. It's easy. Visit geico.com today.
That clip from 2012. Adam's mom arriving early. Now, Adam has famously said one of the worst things you can do is arrive early.
There was a recent Reddit thread that got really hot where somebody was complaining because he did a job interview and he showed up exactly on time. And the response was, if you're really serious about this job, you would have shown up 10 minutes early. It's like, wait a minute. I want Adam's logic. This guy's wrong. This guy's hiring. Adam's the one that's right. Don't show up early. Don't show up late. Show up on time. People expect you. You're there.
Yeah, if you're not late, you're on time. And that's okay. But when it comes to a party, Adam says, you don't want to come in when the host is still in their bathrobe and setting up the tiki torches.
Well, even an interview or like a job thing, they might be doing an interview right before yours. They might be up against something. You don't want people just like hanging around the shop, coming there to show up when you're supposed to be here.
Although Dr. Drew does not listen to him because he is early for everything.
It's drilled into him. He'll never go away.
I've gone and helped set up a baby shower that Drew was invited to, and Drew came early, and he helped set up with us.
He used to sleep standing up in closets at the hospital like a vampire.
Yeah.
Man is disciplined.
He's a different breed. All right, let's get going with our next clip. This one, we're going to jump a year ahead to 2013, and Adam has a little rant about Thanksgiving.
Really? Another thought? More
another
thoughts,
one, huh? Sure.
Adam Carolla Show 1220, Steve Hofstetter not in this clip, Dave Damschek in this clip, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop, December of 2013. This is Adam's Thanksgiving 2013 rant. They went with a service because they were moving, so they were like, it was really hard for Lynette to cook with the house up, all messed up and nothing really ready. So they went like essentially a catering service, and they had a cranberry chutney that Adam complained about on stage a few episodes prior with Chris D'Elia. He's brought that cranberry chutney in the studio for everybody to try and tell him what they think of it. Check it out.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
Shut up and F my a-hole.
A couple of people on Twitter requested that. Captain Carl and Admiral Anthony. I wonder if they know each other.
The great.
They're both in the service.
Oh, yeah. Her Majesty's. Dave Damschek back the show. Everyone excited.
Ace Carolla and company. It's been far too long. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be, tickled pinker than I am right now.
The Sheck Report. You can see the web show available, I should say, at the NFL website, the official NFL website. New video every Tuesday evening. Podcast. I don't know what's going on with my mouth today. Dave Damashek football program available on iTunes as well. You guys.
Real quick, what is that pile of shit you have right in front of you? Is that helping with the mouth being dry?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Probably. It's the chutney that was given to me as cranberry sauce for Thanksgiving this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my wife has to live with me full time. You could only imagine.
Poor thing.
And there's a lot of real specific, like, to the place. I said that we're moving. And not only are we moving, but we timed it so that we literally got into our new house 3 or 4 days before Thanksgiving. And no worse time than to cook for 25 people than to have everything in a box. And it's screaming, if I could find the fucking electric knife, I'd use it on your ass. A lot of that going on.
Yeah.
What kind of maniac doesn't pack an electric knife? Why is it at the other house? There's a lot of that discussion. Mm-hmm. So
who's saying that one?
That was Molly. Well, I said no, but there's a lot of where's this, where's that. It's the you couldn't imagine a worse time to cook for 25 people. So my wife said, "Look, there's this catering company that the neighbors say is great, and we should just use the catering company." And I said, "By all means, use the catering company. We don't have time for all this cooking. We're unpacking all day." So she did the, "Hey, cranberry sauce. It's just it's cranberry, right? It's cranberry sauce. Yeah. It's just, you know, cranberry sauce," because she knows she's living with me. We get the cranberry chutney. I know I'm a broken record, but here's the thing. Aren't you under just some type of human obligation to tell people when they're not going to receive what they are requesting?
What happened to the vows you took as a caterer?
Yes. I just mean, like, we all know what a club sandwich is. I bring it up all the time. If you make your club sandwich and it's just two pieces of pimento loaf that's wrapped in catchit, you need to tell me that is your club sandwich. You can't just spring your club sandwich on me because I'm ordering what I think is a club sandwich because I'm a fucking human being and I live on this planet. But it's no different than me going, how would you like your eggs? Oh, I like my eggs scrambled. Here's two eggs. Oh, those are sunny side up. Yeah, that's how we do it.
What if a blowjob was butt sex?
Yes.
What a surprise.
Hopefully it evolves into that, but yes. Well, no, let's just take eggs. I used to go to breakfast with an asshole who would get his eggs. He would order them basted, I believe, which I still
have. Is there a way to get eggs?
So
127 breakfasts with my buddy Carl. I still don't know what
this is, Denny's, sir. We don't know what that means.
Yeah. All right. I don't know what it means. Expect a snot rocket on top of whatever our interpretation of basted is.
Oh, I'll base those eggs.
No, but let's just take eggs. You go, I want eggs. They go, would you like them scrambled? We like them over easy. We like them sunny side up. Would you like them poached? I mean, there's six ways you can get your eggs. They're all different. They all have names. And the reason they have names is because that's how you like your fucking eggs. The minute you start doing the scrambled and the sunny side up and mixing and matching, then we're fucked as a society, right?
It's not what language is for.
I just got to tell you, though.
The opposite of language.
Allison, Bald, the below the liners on the other side of the glass, whose names I am not familiar with. You guys are here every day, and so you can't see the forest for the trees. But Adam Carolla, you sound like a completely different human being. Than I've been away for 2 months. What happened to the old Adam Carolla?
Sometimes it takes a fresh set of eyes, or in this case, ears, to come in the studio and let us know.
I find it refreshing. It's terrific.
As I mentioned, I did not trust said catering company to give just cranberry sauce. I knew they would fuck it up by blowing some of their fluff into it because that's everyone has to be highfalutin now. And they have to go, oh, this is, you know, cranberry, not good enough. Again, we're not inundated with cranberry sauce. I don't see cranberry sauce all fucking year. But anyway, I went and got cranberries and made my own sauce, and thus we never touched the stuff that was labeled cranberry chutney.
Good for you.
I brought little forks, and you guys can all give it a little.
I have no
little
four
sample.
Knives.
Oh, yours.
This is yours.
No, this is theirs. I just want you to taste what past is cranberry sauce. It's not bad. It's just not cranberry sauce. Mm. That's my whole point. Same with the sandwiches. It's not often bad. It's just not cranberry sauce.
I'll use a knife. You can use a fork if you want.
No, just give it a little.
Just four knives.
More importantly, did you deep fry, did you brine, or did you just go the traditional? Or I guess they brought that bird over for you.
They brought the bird over. Lynette made a beautiful roast in said crock pot. Hmm. I can't figure out what's
it's
in
spicy.
It.
It's spicy. It's surprisingly, it's got like a, there's way too many, there's a lot of spices happening.
Right.
It is vaguely Indian.
It's not cranberry sauce.
No,
it's not
there might have been a cranberry in there. I'm not even sure.
Okay,
and a twig.
Can somebody just give you a heads up?
And
then
it's sweet.
When you're ordering cranberry sauce, to go, I hope you're not expecting cranberry sauce, because you shall not get cranberry sauce. This is going to taste like something that
it's like ye
came
old,
out of an Indian joint. Yes,
ye old something.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's good, but it's not cranberry sauce.
Right.
It's good, but if you're expecting cranberry sauce, you will be sorely disappointed.
Right.
I like on the menus or when the waiter or waitress announces, this is our special spin on the old classic.
yeah, that's when the fucking goat cheese comes in. All right. Sheck's got to do sports, but first I have to bitch a little more.
Please.
So, you know, Spike TV comes to me, I don't know, 8 months ago and says, hey, you want to do a show? Contractor show, catch the contractor, and you know, you bust these guys and you do your comedy and all that kind of stuff. I just do everything. I just take meetings and what the hell. So I do. And then as I drive home, I secretly hope everything goes away. That's my greatest wish, is that everything would just go away. It's a vestige of my it started in grade school, where I'd wake up every Monday morning praying for an earthquake or some sort of smog alert or something. It's a regional thing. But it was like I just wake up going, God, it'd be nice if there's a sinkhole that the school fell into. Yeah, a snow day. Out here it was earthquake or, you know, smog alerts or something. But just something. Some maniac had shot up the school before I got there. Just something where I didn't have to go do what I was supposed to do. So we shot the pilot, and the pilot got picked up, and they said, all right, we want to travel this show. We want you in New Orleans. We want you in Indiana. We want you in Seattle. And I said, well, now we got a problem, because I can't travel because I have a busy schedule and I do a daily podcast, multiple podcasts. So there's just no way I can go to New Orleans for 4 days and shoot an episode. So thanks. You're going to have to find another guy. And then I did what I do again. I just drove home and secretly prayed everything went away. But whenever I pray, things go away. They always seem to come back.
This is the secret to success.
The stuff I want to do is the stuff that never happens. So they said, fine, we'll keep it in town. We'll go local. We'll go local. And then I said, okay, as long as we're staying local, fine. And then I met with the producers, and I said, now listen, my place is over in Glendale and Hollywood and Glendale lot, Burbank area, that kind of right in there, some between Pasadena and Glendale and Burbank and stuff. The closer you get to those areas, the more time you have with me, because I'm doing a daily podcast. I'm going to have to bug out at some point. And if I'm too far away, that I'm just going to have to bug out that much earlier. They said, we hear you, Ace Man. First place we're looking at is in Glendale. Second place we're looking at is in Hollywood. I said, well, that's perfect. That's exactly what I'm talking about. All right. Let me read you the list of places, of homes that we've done thus far. If those of you around the country want to have some fun, you can, I don't know, just pop up a Google image, whatever. Not Google. Google Map, Earth, whatever.
Oh, Gary should put one up with like the little plots around.
Yeah, we could figure something out. And
if it's just Glendale, Glendale, Hollywood, Hollywood over and over again, skip to the end.
We live in the San Fernando Valley, basically. San Fernando Valley probably has 51 separate cities with a whole bunch of different climates in it. There's a little Armenian sections and Mexican sections and a little white written. There's the Jewish up in Hebrew Heights and all that kind of stuff. Here's what we got. We got Santa Ana. That's 50 miles from here. I've lived here my whole fucking life. I don't know where Santa Ana is. I couldn't find any of these places. We started with Santa Ana, 50 miles. Then we went to Santa Ana again. That was 45 miles, different house, a little bit closer. Then we went to Dana Point. Now, keep in mind.
Closer to San Diego than
yes,
Los Angeles.
78 miles from here. This is call time 8:30. I don't even know what time you leave Los Angeles to get to Santa Ana at 8:30. I don't know. I've done the
Five.
Proclamation where I've said I will leave an hour before I'm supposed to be there. And then whatever time I show up is when I show up. It's up to you. This is on you maniacs for scheduling this shit out of town. Everyone else, here's how fucking far these places are. Everyone else is on the production staying in a hotel. In a hotel.
So they're still traveling the show.
They are traveling the fucking show. Santa Ana, Dana Point, back to Santa Ana again. I've never been to fucking 53 miles this time. Now we're really mixing it up. Tustin, 60 miles. It's at this point where I'm starting to get surly. We did one in Laurel Canyon that was 12 miles away.
That's around the corner.
Yeah. And again, this is Los Angeles. Everything is a long slog.
We should point out that people out of town are listening and thinking, oh, 53 miles? That's an hour drive. I mean, if you stop for gas, maybe an hour and 10 minutes.
It's this impossible to get anywhere.
If there's any kind
of
traffic,
of
this is a 2-hour minimum soul crushing drive.
Took me 3 hours to get back from Dana Point.
Yeah, that's sounds about right.
The 5, which is the worst piece of shit freeway in the world, is the one that takes you straight to Tustin and Santa Ana and all that kind of stuff. You get on it at 7:30 in the morning. You just crawl. You just sit there in traffic. So I said to these guys, for the love of fuck, could you find something in fucking Encino or Glendale or Burbank or something? Find a fucking house in the valley somewhere? Someplace. Next 2 houses, Inglewood. It's just a little past the airport.
City of Champions.
Fucking it. Now, that's only 28 miles, but that's into the belly of the beast. And see you there at 8:30 in the morning.
I don't want to be a broken record, but Adam Carolla, again, you have changed, sir. I can play. Wait a second. Yeah, listen, everybody out there feels your pain. You're the star of a TV show,
yes,
and you get to go be on camera. Yeah. Damn the man. Well, yeah. Damn the world.
Listeners might not know what Inglewood is like.
Inglewood
is where the Lakers used to play.
It's up to no good.
It's up to no good. It is a scary place. With scary places around it, and then there's a track that has horses on it somewhere around there, and there's an airport. But there's the Forum. It used to be the Fabulous Forum.
Do they do anything? Why don't they knock that down already? I went to the fight
there. The Fabulous Forum?
Would it be inaccurate to say it's our version on a much smaller scale of Flint, Michigan? Like, it used to be the home of the Lakers, Showtime Lakers. That was – it's the city of champions. It still says it on the street signs.
Right.
And now it's – Yeah.
You know, visitors will know it because Inglewood is where that giant Randy's Donut that you see in movies, that's Inglewood,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's,
there's a couple of those around, but yes. Either way, it's better than Santa Ana. It's still fucking far at 8 in the goddamn morning. Anyway.
Why can't they? So tell me the premise. You're visiting poor work on a house, and you're in there to crack skulls kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the bit. Why really? That is a legitimate question. This isn't a particular industry or anything. This is a house.
Yes, you could just be anywhere.
I would imagine they could scour the valley and come up with those.
One wouldn't think you'd have 3 houses in a row in Santa Ana. And by the way, if I knew that, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have, because this is technically you are traveling the show.
Well, your old pal Jimmy Kimmel's pretty plugged in show business. I would not put it past him to be in contact with those Spike producers.
This could be a grand bit.
Well,
he did think of Spike before Spike was invented. We used to sit in the Man Show office all the time, and he'd just go, there's just be a network for dudes. And everyone would just go, right, right. It's weird before things exist. It's a weird human way to be, which is this. Nothing was here before us and before we invented things. Everything from a cell phone to spacecraft to bottled water, it just never existed, and then we invented it. But it is weird that as a human, when somebody says to another human, hey, you know what we ought to do? There ought to be this. They go, nah.
There's a reason there's
that. That's never going to happen. It's like, really? Look around. There's a lot of stuff that's happened over the years. Why wouldn't this be one more thing that happened? It was just weird. It was like when Jimmy and I were doing the man show when we were pitching. It's like, it's just me and Jimmy. Right. And then where's the girl? And we're like, no, it's just me and Jimmy. I don't think you can do that. Nada. You're going to need a girl. So why is everything, why isn't things that haven't happened, like inventions that haven't become reality yet, embraced? Like, hey, there you go. That's something.
Easier to be cynical than it is to try something. I know. That's what it comes down to, really. Cynicism, people conflate that with being smart somehow, to be skeptical of everything. Yes. And in fact, it's the much easier position to take of the two to try and build on what somebody else is bringing up to you rather than just saying like, well, that'll never work. Well, right. That's another ridiculous idea. Maybe I've heard that a few too many times.
I think even just being enthusiastic or being open is seen as being vulnerable or maybe uncool. So people are afraid to do that.
It's also, if you don't have anything to say and it's not witty and it's not interesting and it's not funny, then you just go the morning radio show route where you go, hey, man, you see that new Ashton Kutcher sitcom? Lame.
Yeah, lame. No, it's not. No, huge totally disaster.
Lame.
Huge disaster.
Fire in an orphanage. Lame.
With the babies running on a fire, but the firemen are kicking them back in so they don't catch other babies on fire. That's how bad it is.
That's totally lame. I've seen snow seals riddled with cancer that were being beaten by Eskimos that were funnier. Okay? Lame.
It's a good idea for a show. I mean, it's a lame idea for a show. It's a lame idea you just had right there.
Wait, we should do a show called That's Lame.
It's so lame.
It's so lame.
Probably won't even be a hit. It's so lame.
It sucks, dude.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Right. You can kill 5 minutes just saying
that. And meantime, who we don't hail nearly enough, the bravest inventors, it's not properly an invention, but I've said it a million times and I'll say it a million in first here. The people who first tried a different type of food, who were these courageous souls? The one that cracked the oyster and said, yes, let's ingest that now. Who did it? And what was the process? What was the literal breaking of eggs before you mentioned eggs? Who figured out the poach business? And who decided, you know what? I mean, I could see a cow somehow falling into a fire and it smells good.
Yeah.
You know, or swine, you know, right. A sow gets into fire. All of a sudden, what is that? Delicious. Oh, wow. My God. That right. I could see a happy accident. But these concoctions, who did all the work on this? The garlic. Let's throw it in a little butter. Oh, that's really very nice.
But the egg, really, like, who thought this thing came out of a chicken's butt? I want to put it inside me.
I have a few theories. One is, I think we just studied other animals eating shit and went, well, hey, that raccoon looks pretty fat. And he's eating those things. Like, I think we saw other animals eating things. And then the other thing is we didn't approach life like it was our personal deli. We were trying to survive. So we didn't have any. I don't even know when people started talking about the taste, if you really think about it. You know, I mean, everything was just about
fair, right?
It was all about sustenance.
Right.
It was basically we were army jeeps. We'd throw any fuel we could run off, anything we could dump into the tank just to get over the next hill. I think
they were sweating onions to get the reduction down. Extra good for their roux.
Yeah, they just had
say roux.
Roux. They had virgin olive oil, but not the extra. You know, the one with the two hymens.
Blinds Galore, huge Black Friday sale going on right now, up to 50% off of everything, one of their biggest sales of the year. So order samples and get ready for the 50% off during Blinds Galore Black Friday sale. Give any room an incredible makeover with custom blinds, shades, and shutters, even shades that connect to your smart home, phone. Amazon Alexa, I use these things. You don't have to pull wires or anything. You just charge them. The charge lasts a long time. Mount them. You can't even tell they're electric. Family owned and run, mother-daughter team, over 20 years in the business. We use them in the studio. We use them in the edit bay. Dr. Drew uses them. They're just the best. And you save a ton compared to the big box stores. It's Blinds Galore, right, man?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their huge Black Friday sale when you can get 50% off. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
That clip from 2013, Adam and cranberry chutney.
Adam's vaguely Indian Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Cranberry chutney, sure. What a look! We already played Adam's Thanksgiving recipe for his famous cranberry sauce. We do that every year, so do yourself a flavor and check that out. Let's get going with
Do yourself a flavor, indeed.
Yes. Let's get going with our next clip. We're going to jump to 2015 now, and Adam is talking about a holiday party he went and he hung out with Lynette and Drew and Susan. What happened?
This is Adam Carolla Show 1712. Paul Mercurio, not in this clip. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. There was a Rose Bowl game. Adam, of course, mocks Dr. Drew for having to cheer for the opposite team of his school, but then he argues that's not his real college. That's where he went to for his doctor stuff after college. Brian, of course, chimes in because anything USC, he's always all over it. And then Adam tells the story of how him and Lynette went over to Dr. Drew's house and had a little bit too much to drink. Hilarious. Check it out.
Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Oh, yes.
I'm,
missed you the game, buddy.
Sort of pathetically sad to say that I watched the whole game with Dr. Drew at Dr. Drew's house. Why? While Dr. Drew is forced to root for UCLA, and you say to yourself, who went to USC?
Attended the university. Dr. Drew went to,
yes, famously was a Lord Jeff. A funny conversation about getting rid of the mascot. But went to the school of Amherst, then went to SC. His wife went to UCLA, and he's forced to root for UCLA now. Here's the way I would do this one. I would kind of do this one. It's sort of, it's a relationship version of I'll Buy You Fly. Many years ago, I ordered some Indian food or something, and Lynette said, I said, well, go pick it up, you know, at 20 minutes or something. She said, like, why do I have to pick it up? And I was like, I went through a lengthy explanation of me leasing her Mercedes, me buying the house, me building the electric gates
the
that you're going to pass through.
In the meantime,
right. That's right.
The point was
me
made.
Getting the credit card, and then it will be you who gets into the car. And that was sort of the, break it down.
Yeah.
And here's the way these should work, because this must happen throughout the nation times several million. There has to be people that went to Alabama, and then the wife went to Tennessee, and now we have to see.
Right.
Whoever has done more with their degree.
Oh.
Whoever's bringing home the bacon, in other words, because of the degree.
It's less symbolic and more practical.
Right.
Right. Because
there's a whole weight to it.
Susan Pinsky, speaking of weight, is just bending a hook that's on a wall right now, but is not actually doing anything.
Okay.
For her.
Yeah.
I know she has some pride, but it's, you know, we all have pride now. I went to North Hollywood High, but it's not really doing anything for me right now.
Now, you played for the East Valley Trojans, sort of modeled after USC, the uniforms, all that stuff. I see the old pictures.
Yes.
And yet I see Sonny walking around in a goddamn UCLA shirt.
Well, I got to say,
I understand it's a proximity thing based on where you live, but
my East Valley Trojan, and Gary will find a picture. I was trying to Google image Paul Newman in his race car or something like that, and I stumbled into a bunch of pictures of me and my old football uniform for some reason. But we not only had the original USC ones, the ones they wear now.
The shoulder crescent.
Then we went to the newer ones.
The piping. The slim piping.
So,
I'm very familiar.
I can
tell you the years they switched.
With exact same uniforms. And we used to go to, we went to the locker room once and saw Anthony Davis there and the whole thing. So I was always a huge USC fan. Sonny got sucked into a few Rose Bowl games with Dr. Drew and his
fell
wife
the bad crowd.
With the lesser degree.
Well done.
That's right. There's a picture of me and Henry Boyd. You guys can go on and look it up at AdamCarolla.com. But yes, we had the USC
uniform. Oh, you did. The away uniforms, too. Yeah. With the crescent stripe, the single stripe on the shoulder, as opposed to you're at the piping on the end of the sleeves, which they went to in the 70s.
We went to that, too.
Yeah.
At some point.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The uniforms are better than what we just saw, but it's awesome that you actually kind of corresponded.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the coaches kind of picked up early on that we followed the team we were the miniature annexed version of them. And, you know, took us on a trip to to USC to watch them practice. And I remember watching the guys, I think it was Anthony Davis at the time, but I remember sort of being intrigued at the guys cutting the tape off of their feet.
Yeah, you don't unpeel the tape. You cut it because it sort of forms into a bit of a cast. I mean, not as quite as rigid.
That's why I'd have to shave your ankles. They didn't have that foam pre-wrap back then. It was just right on the skin. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, God, all this work, all this tape, you know, that was enough tape to last the Corollas a lifetime.
You didn't know there was so much tape.
Was considered,
so lousy with it.
Tape was considered a durable good amongst, you know, as other people's washing machines and refrigerators and automobiles, tape was actually a durable good.
Wow. And thus it was banned.
And the notion that it was, you could just use up 100 feet of it and then just cut it all away for a practice, to me, was insane.
We talk about practice. We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice.
Anthony Iverson. Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
oh my God,
Allen
it's been
Iverson.
Too long.
It's been too long. So we watched a game over at. So Dr. Drew said, come over and watch the game on the big screen kind of thing.
Ugh.
And for me, I've been to some football games and I feel like I can't see anything. I want to see the replay. Yeah. It's all part of the atmosphere. But for me, I'd rather just sit. And Dr. Drew, you know, I don't have a beer with that guy enough, and we got toasted.
Oh, wow.
I got to tell you, there's something.
I got to see Drunk Drew someday.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's
that'd
be funny. Great.
Is he just more polite?
That's awesome.
Drunk Drew is great, and it's also.
He's more intense. He looks more into your eyes when he shakes your hand.
It's funny because it's sort of like having a piece of cake with Richard Simmons. Like, and you go, he's right. offering you your second piece of cake, and you go, are you sure? And he goes, I'm having one. And you go, oh, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, sharing a burger with Morrissey.
Right. Yeah, it's like, it's somehow okay. Like, so I showed up with the kids and Lynette, and I brought a couple of beers and some mangria and some stuff just to not show up empty-handed. And Drew said, what do you got there? And I pulled out one of those Pizza Port IPAs that we have here. And he said, let me get a hit off that, you know. And so I opened it up, and I poured him half a glass, and I poured me half a glass. And he took a couple of draws off it, and he said, whoa, this stuff packs a wallop. And I said, yeah, you can feel it. And I said, yeah, man. I'll tell you the way to quietly get drunk. Two things. You have to have somebody refilling your glass all the time, so you can't really count the empties.
If it gets to the bottom, yeah.
Right. You don't know if you've had... See, there is a point where you're keeping a tally, and you're like, I drank 7 beers. Maybe I should take my foot off the accelerator for a second here. But when someone just keeps pouring it into your glass, that's sort of going out and doing the family style, and the guy keeps filling your wine glass, and you're talking
There's
to somebody.
There's no point of reference.
Yeah, sometimes it's sitting next to you, sometimes you're holding it, but the guy just keeps filling it up, so it's like, you've never really drank a bottle of wine, but you drank 3 bottles of wine because he kept pouring it.
The guy came around a dozen times, but you could have had 8 glasses.
Yeah, you just don't know, so.
Something conservative like that.
Drew kept cracking the beers, and he just kept half for me, half for you, and somehow we ended up getting toasted over the course of the SC game.
Like vaccinations with Jenny McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was like.
It's like forbidden.
Does he get racial when he's drunk?
No, he was racial before we were drunk. No, we're having a laugh about...
Was he secretly rooting for SC? Did he give him a little subtle fist pump?
No, he's got to root for UCLA.
Motherfucker.
He just has to. And I'm sorry, but that's what he must do. So there was that.
I don't want to pile on Drew, but is that the ultimate form of pussy whipped? It's one thing you should support your spouse's whatever they're into, but when it directly conflicts, you know what I mean, with a rivalry, with something you're passionate about.
Well, also, I don't know
if you're a Chevy guy and she wants to put a picture of Calvin pissing on Chevy on your thing, do you just say yes or do you fight back?
I don't know why. First off, I would. It's more fun when a Pats player gets in a room with a Giants player. So when Kevin Hench gets in the room with Nick Santora, it's more entertaining. If they're both rooting for the Pats, it's not that entertaining. Number one. Number two. I don't know if you guys have heard or if I've ever brought this up before or you're even aware of it, but Lynette likes this guy named Bruce Springsteen.
Who? Let me write this down.
And
Jewish guy.
I think they think he's... Anyway. Okay.
We'll check on that.
It's another good argument we had the other day. She didn't like my hypotheses that every Jewish male I've met between the age of 40 and 52 is a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. And it's like, my argument is not because they think he's Jewish. It's just close enough.
Sure.
And
proximity.
The second part of my argument is 72% would be fans anyway. This is 100%. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There, some of these guys would break off the Lyle Lovett or something. You know what I mean? But they 100%. Anyway. So I like John Hyatt, but we're able to live in the same house.
Yes.
It's fine. Why not? You like SC. You like UCLA. They're fun when they get together and play.
Yeah.
You should taunt each other by wearing the jersey and having fun. But Drew's P-whipped, but he was B-whipped with the Brewskis and me yesterday. And then at a certain point, the Mangria came out.
Oh, no.
And he started liberally pouring that.
Then, it's a nightcap, Drew. The sun's still up.
Then you get to this point. Lynette pulled a power move. She drank too much white Mangria and did a nap.
Oh, that's
at someone else's house.
Good for her.
That's a power move.
Awesome.
Wow.
Did she hit a bedroom or she grab a couch?
I don't know. She wandered off.
She hit a bedroom.
She hit a bedroom.
Wow.
She took one of the triplets' bedrooms.
Damn.
Thanks, Drew and Susan publicly on Twitter for it.
That's awesome. Brazen.
She took a nap. She took a pre-drive of shake off the morning Mangria nap.
Nice.
Over at Drew's place. So we got good and toasted, but fun. And then here's where the drunk really kicks in. The drunk kicks in is when you're drunk, and now it's hard to slow down a little bit. But you get to that point where there's 2.5 inches at the bottle, the bottom of the bottle of the Mangria. And now it's like, well, what are we going to do? Drink this a year from now? Yeah. You got to kill it. And Drew's heavy hand. He's pouring it around.
He's a host. He's a hell of a
host. He's the host. So that was good times. You guys, we got Thanksgiving out. We're a little bit of a Gina was tweeting me pictures of making me goulash.
Mm-hmm.
We have this Thanksgiving is enjoyable for me, but marginally less enjoyable because of the way I'm wired.
Mm.
Because I don't like waste, and because I grew up around, you know, you can't throw away half a pot roast. We never saw a whole pot roast, but once a year, maybe. Like, and it trickles down. Here's my theory. You guys tell me about this theory. Everyone says, God, I got all this junk now. I got junk everywhere, and the junk's in the garage, cluttering up everything. I said, look, when I was a kid, it was sort of black and white. First off, there wasn't much stuff to go around. You do well, and you get a swag bag with hoodies and coffee mugs and some little, you do Howard Stern, you get a swag bag. The stuff, the headphones, the sort of knockoff Beats headphones and little MP3 player, whatever it is, would have been easily the most valuable thing in my house growing up. What am I supposed to do? Throw it away? I don't know what to do with it. But here's my point. I keep kind of telling people it's because stuff is being cranked out of China and it's all kind of in this no man's land of, well, you can't throw this away. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'll never use it my entire life. What do I do with this stuff?
It's not disposable, but
paper plates.
Oh.
Here's my point. When I was a kid, paper plates were paper plates. They didn't hold any weight whatsoever. They got soggy, and when you were done with the kid's birthday party, you knew exactly what to do with them. Chuck them. They're paper plates.
Sure.
They're not good for anything. And then on one end of the spectrum, you had China, and then you had paper plates. Now there's this vast array of in-between.
Yeah.
Hard plastic.
Oh, the Chinette.
Nice ones. Yeah.
Sort of
durable.
Decent. Comes in the 10-pack. Probably costs $6.
You could wash it.
My wife's like, all right, we're done. And they're all going into the trash can. And I'm going, hey, we got the guys coming over Sunday to watch football. Well, I could use these. And I was like, are you going to wash them? And I'm like, yeah, I think you just wash them. And then, well, then you wash them. I'm not going to wash them. Like, there's your for the garbage. Like, these at the Corolla house would have been passed on to new generations of super beaten down, downtrodden people. But honestly, like my grandmother had those plastic see-through outdoor, like plastic cups.
Yep.
And they were super opaque and cloudy by the time she died, but she couldn't throw. But there is such a thing as paper plates that could be reused 100 times.
Absolutely.
So what are we to do?
What do you do?
And I'm like, I'm not into this part, not the money part. I'm just not into the part where this thing's going into landfill, whereas this thing would be used 1,000 times over in some village somewhere. I'm gonna wash them, bring them to the shop.
So you did wash, you are washing them. You had them washed.
Well,
let me be correct.
There was this one, which is then the part where it starts to hit some area. I literally pull them out of the garbage can because people are just tossing them into an open garbage can in the kitchen. I don't blame them. They think they're eating. You know, they go into the garbage can. Then I pull them out, sort of give them a shake, whatever, the turkey leg falls off and whatever. And I bring them and put them into the sink. And then when I go into the next room and come back, they're all in the garbage can again.
Yeah, it must have been your error.
Because somebody thought, oh, what are these doing in here? Yep. And again, you can never yell at that person because they're moving.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to do something. Now I got to pick them out of the garbage can and hide them. Keister them, get them out of the house, bury them in the yard. So now I got a big fat plate of stuff. Now, how this pertains to Gina is my family doesn't do leftovers, which really just says we're rich.
Wait.
It's not really we don't do leftovers, is we don't have to do leftovers.
Oh, no. Leftovers is the best part of Thanksgiving.
I love leftovers.
I wish you two were with me. When I gave that,
this is madness. What?
Let's make a turkey sandwich. Oh. Like, oh, we're all that tastes no more turkey already. Like, oh, I can't even look at it. I'm like,
fuck you.
That's my listen. That's my.
You gotta get bread specifically for the sandwiches the next day.
Yeah.
When you're out shopping for a turkey dinner, get a few slices of bread.
Hawaiian rolls.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
That's not ideal. That's fine.
All right. And what happens is Sonny is. Sonny's ideal dinner is a handful of carrots and an apple. Mm-hmm. Natalia.
I love Jim Carolla.
Will bandwagon. Yes. Natalia. Oh, Jim Carolla.
He made a note.
Oh, my God.
He made a note. All right, Natalia.
Natalia. Jim Carolla, JC. Penny. No wonder they put Penny after his name.
Wouldn't that be a great nickname? JC Penny?
Yeah, it would have been a little rich for his blood. He'd be like, can we break into a bit? Like, we just break off a piece of the penny?
Sure.
We're not full penny material. So, my daughter will bandwagon. So, if my wife says anything, like, isn't it cold in here? I'll go, no. The thermostat says, hey, I'm freezing, Daddy. Oh, help me. I'm freezing.
She waits to see your reaction.
Yeah, she waits for this, and then she says that.
Where's Daddy going?
Right. Then she goes out to the
counter.
And she hits it hard.
Yeah.
And then Lynette will go, you see the kids are, you know, and then fill in the blank. So, I'm doing the... Let's have leftovers. And like, what are we going to eat? We're going to eat leftovers. No, come on. And I'm like, isn't this good? Don't people look forward to this? No. This first world luxury of not eating, I try to explain to people all the time. People in Thailand just eat Thai food for the rest of their lives. That's it. Every night. Every breakfast, brunch, I don't even think I'm going to import brunch to Thailand. But when I do import brunch, it won't be champagne and eggs a la Fizdale. Yeah. It'll be Thai food.
Green curry.
That's what they eat. And go check with Mexico and Germany, too. But
all Thai food.
This is... Thank you.
Keep going.
So I'm saying, let's just eat. And everyone's like, it's like, all right, fuck it. I can't throw away. We bought buckets and buckets of food for Thanksgiving. The turkey... We went with it. We got a new oven. It's not sure, not new, but a new house with an oven that's 60 years old. Not sure how it works. Some hot spots. We just decided, Lynette, you make the pot roast in the crock pot. Farm out the turkey. Like, just go buy one of those Gelson's, you know, whole whatever. Turkey showed up, had this great 1-2 punch in the gut. We're like, Lynette's like, it's a little smaller than I thought. I thought we got like a 22 pounder. This thing's like 16 pounds. I was like, we'll take it. And as we're unwrapping, I see the $107.44. I'm like, holy shit. Right on the back of, it's a little smaller than I, all right. I'll be goddamn, I'm throwing away whatever's left of that turkey. That's my point.
It's a dollar a bite.
So now I'm in, all right. So I'm in just, what are we going to do with all this food mode? Because no one under this roof will eat this food but me.
Same.
So I got to bring it. So now I've fast forward to football Sunday. All right, everybody, I send the email out to everybody. Don't bring any food. I'm bringing turkey and fixins and pies and blah, blah, blah. And then while I'm sitting around at my computer trying to think about what to do with this food, Gina is tweeting me pictures of her making me a vat of goulash.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to go like Is she? How deep is she? Can she back it off? Like, what stage of the goulash is she in? Like, I know I'm going to lose my goulash deposit
right.
if I tell her to back off right now. But yeah. should I tell her to back off right now? She's doing a great thing. But the last thing I need in my life right now is more beef and savory and potatoes because I'm already swimming in it and I don't know what to do with it. So God love you. God love you.
This will make you feel maybe a little bit better. I only brought you half. The rest is for the family.
Thank you.
I made it from scratch. It is delicious, and just try it. Oh,
I will.
And if you,
I will.
If your family hates leftovers, keep them away from the stuffin' muffins I brought you.
Oh boy! All right, so my dad pulls this shit mid whatever. It's so fucking yogi of him. It's like, I don't know, 7:45. I got a belly full of buzz and stuffing, and I'm kind of wandering around picking out plastic plates and trying to keep people's, you know, drinks topped off, and we're hosting and Lynette's doing her thing, and my dad kind of comes by, and my dad, again, he's the guy who'll show up, and he's the only guy I know who'll show up on a Sunday in the middle of the afternoon to sit by the pool and watch the kids swim, and when you go, you want a beer, Pops? No, thank you. A soda? No. Bubbly water? No. Literally nothing, like no tap water, no anything. Sit in the backyard for 2.5 hours watching the kids swim without a cold one or cold anything. He hits me with this one about 7:45. You got any tea? I said, we got coffee. You want some coffee? No. Tea. Like, I have every kind of beer, every kind of booze, every kind of soda, every kind of everything. You sure one of those? I'd prefer tea. And now, because we just moved, basically, and tea is way down on my fucking list of things to keep track of, I'm now going through the endless cabinets that I'm not familiar with. But I'm not sure if we have tea. But by the way, you know what I thought to myself? Bring your own fucking tea. Like, no, here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying. I don't want to sound like a dickhead. I know it's too late. But you guys tell me... Bring your own fucking tea, old man. I'll choke you out with that little string that hangs onto the bag. I'll drop an elbow on you before you hit the floor.
The season has started, so I can see that.
You guys tell me what you think of this. Seeing as how your son has never brought up tea in a conversational form ever, and you've never seen him drink tea, nor his wife, and the weight of dry tea is less than an ounce if you got yourself a couple of bags and tucked it into your upper sock or whatever it is, put it in the pocket of your sweatpants. Pack your own tea. Like, if you want tea, like, no one else knows you want tea. We got the booze flowing. We got some coffee for dessert, but we may not. There's one human being in this house that wants tea. That's you, old man. If you want to assure your probability or the possibility of you getting tea, bring you who evidently are knee deep in tea bags over at your place. Throw one in your fucking pocket.
But
go ahead.
Well, do you think now that he's proclaimed this announcement, he's going to assume that you've now covered the tea for him?
No, he doesn't assume anything. And I was searching and searching and going through the cupboards and not sure, finding weird spice things and stuff. And finally found a mason jar with 15 different kinds of tea that must have. But no kettle. So someone had to boil the pot of water.
Stone ages.
Of course, the person that decided to boil the pot of water sort of forgot about it.
Yeah.
Went back to the party. So at some point I showed up and the thing was just vaporizing on the thing, and I don't blame the person. They didn't sign up for my dad and his tea. It's like he intentionally thinks of super boring. And by the way, no cream, no sugar, no anything, just tea.
Water,
because
the
that'd
tea
be
bag,
the worst thing to drink at 7:30 on a Thanksgiving evening.
I love that philosophy of bring your own, especially when it's something you like and you're not sure if. We always travel when we go down to Christy's parents' house. Her mom likes the sweet and low, the pink stuff for the coffee.
Yeah, sure.
Not my thing. We always bring a couple packs of Truvia or Stevia or whatever it is, because we like that. We like the stuff that's but we're not going to expect them to have it. That's kind
you
of a some bit of a rarer
really
item.
Was hoping you had Truvia.
Yeah, yeah, we brought
to make Tabasco in the keychain size thing. All right. There's Howie Mandel.
Oh.
Yeah. You guys tell me, I got his birthday party coming up tonight.
All right.
You guys tell me what you think of this. What is a good gift for Howie Mandel?
Purell.
By the way, it's funny. Now the people keep tweeting me articles about how Purell is bad for you. Oh, who could have ever seen this? Mm-hmm. Who could have ever? It's impossible. Nostradamus couldn't have, if he was alive today, wouldn't have gotten to Purell. Who could have seen the fact that overuse of this shit would be bad, big picture? Nobody.
Don't tell Howie that.
Nobody. So think about what you would get for Howie Mandel, and here's why I've said many times, listen, Brada, you either have to drink or you have to have a team. Because unless you drink or have a team, adult who knows you in a sort of peripheral way, I'm out. You're rich and you don't drink. Because the only thing you can do for a rich guy is give him a nice bottle of scotch he'll get to it eventually or he'll
display it.
Something. Yeah. It's easy. Get the Johnny Walker Blue Label or whatever. Comes in a nice thing. Done.
Yep.
Done. Nice bottle of champagne. Done. Done. Or you have a team, in which case we get you something team related. But if you don't got a team, and you don't got...
Howie's in a no man's
land. I got nothing to do. And you're rich. That's the other thing. Because all you... For the poor friends, it's, you know, $50 gift certificate, Outback Steakhouse. Right. They're fucking happy as a clam. They're done. Rich meets no booze, meets no team.
And it's especially hard if you're not, like, super best friends, because you can't even just get them a little picture of you guys hugging. Sentimental.
Usually.
LifeLock holidays. Feel like a never-ending to-do list. Shopping online can expose your personal info. And not all websites are on the nice list. Get LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. This holiday season, you could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit alone and bank statements. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used in their network, they will send you an alert. And if you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can help restore your identity easier than you can do on your own. Protect yourself this year with LifeLock, right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel protected this holiday season. The best sale of the year is happening now. Save up to 30% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 30% off at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. Sale ends November 30th.
Hey, if your business...
That was Adam having a good time back in 2015.
Lynette sleeping in one of Drew's kids' rooms.
Yeah. Oh. Look, when the booze
midday
is out...
Midday booze nap. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. We're okay. That's what you're supposed
to do.
It's holiday
party. What else are you supposed to do?
Exactly. I agree with you 1,000,000%. All right. Let's get going with one final clip. This one, not necessarily recorded even around Thanksgiving. It's from March of 2016. But it involves a Thanksgiving turkey.
Adam Carolla Show 1780, Ari Shaffir, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. No Ari in this portion. It's Candidate Platitude, that whole segment and bit. Just a really funny riff and a nice closer for this episode. Check it out.
All right. Let's see. Where was we? All right. We got a phone call up there for Candidate Platitude.
Questions.
okay. Let's see. Ari's here. All right. We'll hurry this along. David.
Candidate Platitude.
David.
How are you?
David, 36, Washington.
Yes, sir. This is I.
Did you know that I have 9 sons named David and that I hail from the Washington area myself?
It's impressive.
Candidate Platitude, I would expect nothing less from you. You are a very well-hung candidate.
Thank you. What do you do for a living?
I drive commercial motor vehicles, sir.
I was a long-haul trucker for many years.
This is tailor-made for you, David.
It's like you were separated at birth.
I drove an 18-wheeler through Harvard.
Jesus.
In a semicircle and did got all my units inside a Mack truck while I was driving it. Yeah.
Haul your degrees away.
Double clutching all the way. Thank you.
Beautiful.
So I know what it's like to drop off parcels.
Dad?
What? Yes, David.
Are you my father?
Yes, I'm everyone's father. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Candidate Platitude, I have a question to ask you. This is for everybody out there in your listening audience. I want to know, candidate, how will you separate yourself from the fat cats in Washington?
Well,
I want to know how are you going to bring it from Wall Street to Main Street, Canada Platitude?
I'll tell you this right now, David. Did I mention I had 11 sons named David?
Yes, sir. Oh, I love it.
They all hail from the Washington area?
Two in the last 6 minutes.
I'd call them up, but they're all, you can only reach them by CB. Mm. They're all long-haul truckers. That's the only way to contact them. You got to know their handle and what wavelength they're on.
You're a real man of the people.
Yeah. All right. What I would do, well, obviously, a vote for me is a message to the fat cats in Washington. Mm-hmm. So every time you vote for me, you send a message to the fat cats in Washington. Now, the Washington elite, the guys on the Beltway, I don't even know where that is, but I hear about it all the time.
That's how much of an outsider you are.
I don't even know where the Beltway is. I will, if I am elected president, I will not start until the third day because I can't find the White House.
Wow.
It's not because I'm lazy. I don't physically know where it is. That's how out of the system I am.
So, for an outsider you are.
I lived in a refrigerator box adjacent to Ted Kaczynski's shack. That's how far out of the system I am.
Oh,
all right. So
man.
You're bringing, what I'm bringing is a fresh sheet of paper.
Mm.
And by the way, I'm not bought and sold by the corporate elite.
Corporation.
I'm not in anyone's rear pocket, hip pocket, or side pocket. I'm not even into that little place in their vest where they keep their pocket watch. Mm. Even that small pocket.
You're not the ticket pocket.
The fifth pocket where the key
on the
goes.
Jeans.
Yeah, the jeans. That they,
on the Levi's.
Inside the pocket.
Are we talking like a boot cut? Or
yeah,
that's probably relevant.
Yeah.
Not even in the miniature
no,
pockets.
Jesus.
That's how out of the pocket I am. I'm not. I don't even eat Hot Pockets because it has the word pocket
don't
in
play
it.
Billiards.
You understand? I liked Michael Vick because he wasn't a pocket quarterback.
That's right.
I don't have pocket doors in my home. Do you understand me? I didn't like baseball great Kirby Puckett because his last name sounded too much
too
like
close.
Pocket. Do you understand how against pockets I am?
Don't get him started on kangaroos.
You know what I do when I go out in a dress shirt? I take my sunglasses off. I drop it right where my breast is, right where my peck is, and it just falls straight to the ground.
Slash
you want to know why? No pockets. Do you understand? I wear fanny packs like bandolero belts. I got two on me right now. Corduroy and suede. Keeping it real. And everything goes into those. Are you married? Do you have children?
I am married, and I have three boys.
I have three sons named David, and then another 11 adopted named David as well. Don't tell me your wife's name. It doesn't matter because it's the same name as my wife.
Wow.
Okay?
Leilani.
Leilani. That's
name.
Right. Exotic. That's right. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. And, by the way, she's the strongest person I know.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean emotionally. I mean, she can squat and deadlift. She's Samoan. She has huge calves.
You would know that's true.
Yeah, Leilani. Yes, yes. And I share, because I have children, too, 14, three biological, 11 named David, who I adopted. I share your concerns as a father. I share your concerns as a neighbor. I share your concerns as a trucker. I share your concerns as a human being. I want for my kids what we all want for our kids, a chance at education, a chance to do better than we did. You know, my grandfather came to this country from a country that hadn't been invented and still doesn't exist. That's how small it was.
The old country.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't exist, Stan. Okay? You know what he showed up with? He had nothing but a pocket full of syphilis. He'd actually packed syphilis.
That's why he had pockets so much.
Yes. And he showed up to Ellis Island, and here's the kind of chutzpah he had. He showed up at Ellis Island, he found a guard, and he said, I want to change the spelling of Ellis Island. And they said, wait a minute, that's what we do for you. And he said, how's it feel, bitch?
Gave him the what for.
That's right.
Taste of his own medicine.
And he showed up, and he wrote his last name. What's your last name, David?
My last name is Nihi Polly.
That's Nihi Polly. That was his last name.
That was Platitude. It's
oh,
it was Nihi Polly Berg, but they shortened it. Mm-hmm. They, at Ellis Island. Yeah. All right.
Typical.
Oh.
Yeah. And he came, and I remember him saying the first time he saw the lights of Broadway. Mm. I remember.
Oh.
It's something he'd never seen before, and he would never forget. And he showed up with nothing but a head full of dreams and a pocket full of syphilis. And he rolled up just one sleeve because he wasn't sure how hard he wanted to work. But eventually he rolled up the second sleeve, committing to this hard work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he put on his dungarees, both legs simultaneously at a time.
You don't see that too much.
Very athletic man. Very athletic.
Beautiful.
He could jump up and pull them both on at the same time. He said, it's a fool's errand just to do it one leg at a time. It's a waste of time.
Cut the time in half.
Over a lifetime.
Yeah.
That really adds up. And he would put his dungarees on two legs at a time. And he started off sweeping pubic hairs at a whorehouse.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yes, as low.
Oh, my gosh.
He was paid a nickel a pound.
Oh.
By the pound?
Oh, by the pound.
That's a lot of hair.
Well, they had a lot more back then.
That's a good point.
There's more back then. Yeah. It's not the landing strip and the full Brazilian job you see now. And he used to do it, and you know what he told me? He was proud. Mm. He was proud because at the end of the month, he'd get 14 cents. And he'd take that money.
3 pounds.
And he'd buy. Well, he didn't have a good broom. He couldn't afford an effective broom. He'd buy a little piece of sausage and some hard bread. And he'd take it back to the flat that he shared with 128 other people.
Oh,
it was a no bedroom apartment. You open the door.
No bedroom.
You literally would open the door, would just smack the back wall, wouldn't even completely open.
It's very small.
Most of the folks couldn't get in and out of it.
Can't be up to code.
No, they didn't have it back then. And he worked. But you know what? He saved that money. And eventually he opened...
The pube sweeping money?
Yes.
The pube sweeping
paid
money?
Paid a nickel a pound.
Stop laughing, Brian.
He saved it, yeah.
He saved that. He opened a small plumbing supply business. And today, that store is now 46 franchises across the United States. I used to work in that as a young lad. He paid me a nickel an hour, and I learned about hard work. Mm. I knew about dedication. And guess what?
Mm.
That pocket full of syphilis still has it to this day. Still carries it with him. And still gets up at 5:30, walks 20 miles, rain or shine. Opens that store and goes to work. Open weekends, holidays,
24/7,
New Year's.
It's an inspiring.
God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless him.
American
God bless
success
him.
Story.
God
doesn't
bless
exist
him.
To Stan and Sons.
Mm-hmm. What kind
candidate
of
candidate platitude?
Yeah.
Candidate platitude.
Yeah.
You are the Russell Wilson of candidates. You think outside the pocket.
That's right.
You have my vote.
Thank you.
You have my vote.
Thank
candidate.
You. Thank you.
Oops.
Inspiring.
Well, they're all true stories. They're all true stories.
They're true in that you told them.
That's true. Ari, not comedian Ari.
Hey.
23.
Hey, what's up,
New
man?
Jersey. What's going on?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good. I have 11 sons named Ari.
What's up?
I have sons named Ari.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Question.
My question for you is, what are you going to do about bullshit parking tickets?
Mm.
And then on top of that, could you waive mine that I got last week?
Oh, two good questions. Nice follow-up.
Presidential pardon.
Yeah.
Good follow-up question.
What are you going to do for him?
I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to waive Ari's parking ticket and your debt to the city of New Jersey. Okay, I mean the state.
Let's go with it.
I'm sorry.
Jersey City.
I don't sit around staring at the round things with the pictures of the countries on them.
You may have trouble with the gardens, carrying the garden state this election season.
I'm not into the flat things either with the other things in the outlines on there. All right? I'm busy
maps and globes?
Yes, sending a there is a Jersey City somewhere.
Yes. There's a Jersey City.
I'm busy sending a message to the fat cats in Washington.
The message being business as usual?
No.
Oh.
No. Be prepared to be shaken up violently, like an infant who goes full tard after a heavy-set Guatemalan nanny gets his hands on her when the couple's out seeing a movie.
Oh.
That's how I'm going to, that's what I'm going to shake Washington, not to its core, but until it gets Down syndrome and needs to be moved to an assisted living facility.
Vivid.
Okay, that's how hard I'm going to shake Washington.
Oh. Specific.
Now, what were we talking about? Oh, you're, yes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
My parking ticket, yes.
I will announce this from the steps of the White House on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
Then I will choke the shit out of that turkey.
Oh, you're not doing the pardon thing they do every year.
He's going to pardon Ari instead of Liberty and Justice, the turkeys.
Wow. I will kill the turkeys with my bare hands and announce, how do you like me now, bitch?
No.
And by the way, as I hold their lifeless corpses up with my right and left hand, I'll just simply say, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. Get the message? Far as Ari goes,
hey,
I only have so much pardoning power, and I'm not going to waste it on a stupid foul bird that would peck your eyes out if you ever fell asleep in its cage that we all consume anyway.
There's no gratitude for that from that bird.
No, not at all. Ari can contribute to my next year's campaign.
Any better.
That's right. Thank you, Ari. And
hey, appreciate it.
When I'm in charge, everyone is going to have valet parking wherever they go.
It's quite a promise.
You understand? And the Diamond Lane will be accessible, the high occupancy lane, because your valet will be traveling with you.
Oh, so you're always allowed in the HOV.
Yes, and people say to me, okay, you're going to have all 320 million Americans, I don't know, 100 million of them drive or whatever it is, you're going to have 100 million valets?
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for this? Mexico! I'm going to get Mexico to pay for this. You understand? Mexico is going to pay for your valet. You want to know how? Don't worry about it.
You got this.
When I'm in charge, I'm going to have Mexico pay for your valets. All right. Thank you very much. Ari Shaffir is
fired up.
I'm fired up. Wow. Vote for me is a message.
It's a vote for you.
As a fat cat. No, we're sending a message to the fat cats in Washington.
Message being, things are going as planned as always.
You want a valet or don't you?
Oh, that's a good point.
All right.
I do love the tagline, Brian.
Oh, and everyone's going to get a reverie bed as well.
It's
quite a promise.
I'm going to get Mexico to pay for it. No, Canada's going to pay for the beds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mexico's on the hook for the valets.
Hey, if you're a business owner, you don't need me telling you that running a business is tough, but you don't need to make it harder than necessary. So don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the info you need when you need it. Upgrade, people. Upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. Get visibility and control over financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more all in one place instantaneously. So whether you're doing a million a year or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time, save money, go with NetSuite. Right, man?
Join the over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Adam. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Adam. netsuite.com/ADAM.
All right, that'll do it for Corolla Classics. Thanks to Candidate Platitude for closing it off. Hope everyone is having a great Thanksgiving. Gio and I will be back all Thanksgiving weekend, so make sure to tune in for some classic Corolla clips. We'll see you tomorrow.
Got something amazing for you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you give him a tease? What do we got?
The opening clip, Adam Carolla Show 965. Adam goes on an epic rant about bugs and has lots of opinions that people might not have caught the first time. We get a little bit of Ralphie May, and overall it's a super cut of a classic episode brought down to 56 minutes of nonstop hilarity.
Let's get to it. We'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.